All right, folks, I'm going to get into some difficult passages of Scripture here that few people wander into. Very few will wade into the waters that I'm about to wade into. I don't fear difficult passages because when we crack that nut, we will reap some beneficial fruit. Speaking of like things like pistachios and walnuts, and pecans. My mom was from the south, the Gulf Coast of Mississippi, and my aunt from the Gulf Coast used to send us up pecans. And it's not pecans, thank you very much. It's pecans. And you know, it's hard to crack those nuts, right? But when you do, it's delicioso when you get that pecan out of there. But especially pistachios, that's my favorite nut. So we're gonna crack some nuts here. That's what I do. We're gonna wander into some difficult waters. But as we do this, we're gonna get some amazing truth. Now, my main point throughout this week basically is that death is not a penalty for sin. It's not a punishment. Nobody's being punished in death. You can't be punished in death. So the lake of fire, which is the second death, is not a punishment. It's simply that those who go there aren't destined to live during the fifth eon. So it's more of the same. The second death is more of the same. First death is the absence of life. Second death is also the absence of life. I want to prove to you from the Scriptures, I've alluded to this verse several times, that it is death that is transmitted to us genetically through Adam. Not sin, but death. For that I go to Romans 5. Therefore, even as through the one man, sin entered the world, and through sin, death. Hang on. And thus death passed through into all mankind, on which all sinned. I know it's difficult wording there because it's Paul. I'm not a fan of Paul's wording here. But there was only one man who sinned first and then began to die, and that man was Adam. Even as through the one man, sin entered the world, and through sin, death. There's the dominoes falling. The first domino is sin, second domino is death. Now that death domino falls, and now death passed through into all humanity. It's death that passes through on which all sinned. So now that death has passed through, the death domino falls, having been nudged over by the sin domino, and now that domino falls through all of us. We're just a bunch of dominoes lined up, falling the fall of death, and because we're dying, we sin, on which all sin. The people who are dying sin. So I've said this before, if you eliminate death, you don't even need to tell me you eliminate sin, because sin cannot exist apart from death. Okay, yesterday I told you that we have two problems. We're sinners and we're enemies. And we suffer because of our sin, and we die because of what we have become in Adam. And I said to you that Jesus Christ solves both problems by suffering and dying himself. He fights fire with fire. He suffers for our sin. He dies for our state. He enters a state of being to deliver us from our state of being. That is, we're mortals who will eventually die, barring the snatching away, which, as you know, I believe will occur in 5 minutes. People are still asking me, Martin, you think we're closer to the snatching away? We're still 5 minutes away, I told you. And if 5 minutes goes by and it doesn't happen, I'm anticipating it any minute. We have no time pegs to dictate this great event. So Jesus Christ suffered and died for us. And this wording is exquisite. I'm back in Romans 5. I just gave you about this sin and death thing. Romans 5, 12. Now I'm going to go to Romans 5, 8. For God is commending this love of his to us, seeing that while we are still sinners, Christ died for our sakes. Much rather now, being justified in his blood, we will be saved from indignation through him. Saved by his blood. Blood is a figurative way to say suffering. We're not saved by his literal blood. His literal blood was a collection of plasma, hemoglobin, white blood cells, red blood cells. It was a substance in the body. There's nothing magical about the blood of Jesus Christ. The value of his blood is that the scripture says the soul is in the blood. There are mistranslations about that. King James says the life is in the blood. It's not. The life is in the spirit. Spirit gives life. The soul is in the blood. That is our sensitivities, our feelings, and our pain. Any pain we have is because of the blood. This is why when you lose blood in your hand goes numb, because you have no pain apart from blood. So we're justified in his blood. We're justified in his blood. And the blood has to do with the suffering. You notice that his blood was not drained until after he was dead, because unfortunately he needed his blood in order to suffer. This is horrible, but he had to suffer for our sins, suffered for our sins. In the Hebrew sacrificial system, they sacrificed animals. I'm sorry, but I didn't invent it. But they would drain the blood as quickly as possible so that there was no sensation. And of course, when your blood comes out of your head, you pass out because you have no more sensation. So we're justified in his blood, yet we will be saved from indignation through him. For if being enemies, we were conciliated to God through the death of his son. So here's another problem we have. We're talking about enemies now. We're enemies in this verse, verse 10 of Romans 5. We're enemies. And being enemies, we're conciliated to God. Conciliation means peace. We're given peace through the death of his son. So the death of his son. This is him entering the state of death. And this brought a much deeper thing than justification. We're talking about two results of Christ's work on the cross. We're talking about justification and conciliation. Justification deals with our sins. Conciliation deals with our state. And our sins caused Christ to suffer. Our state caused him to die. He suffered on the cross for our sins. He died for the fact that we also are dying in Adam. The result of the suffering of Christ for our sins is justification. We're no longer guilty. God looks at you and says, not guilty. That's justification. Justification's great. It means that no court in this land can pronounce you guilty because you're not guilty. That's justification. Not guilty. But doesn't mean you go to lunch with the judge, does it? The judge says, not guilty, Martin Zender. Great. Now, do I go to lunch with the judge? There's still a friendship issue. There's still an issue of being an enemy. So conciliation is peace. We now have peace with God. This peace with God did not come through the suffering of Christ on the cross. Those hours when he was on the stake, dealt with our sins, and leads us to justification. He gave his blood, speaks of his suffering, his sensitivity to pain and to anguish and to mental anguish. All the blood was running through his brain, running through his nerves, running through his hands and his feet and his sides and his back. Justification, great blessing. But what about this deeper problem? How can you have a deeper problem? We're dying, and we're dying because we offended God and we became enemies of God, and all humanity is an enemy of God. For this, Jesus Christ gave his very life. He gave himself over to the death state. No one could take his life. He gave it. For if being enemies, we were conciliated to God through the death of his son. Much rather, being conciliated, we shall be saved through his life. This is exquisite wording in Romans 5, 9 through 11. There's no other problem other than sin and death. What other problems do you have that are not based, rooted in these two huge issues that came from Adam? And I just read that verse. Adam transmuted death to us. And because we're dying, we sin. That's it. And sin eventually leads to death. Dying is a hell of a thing. It's a hell of an inconvenience because it leads to literal death. Dying is the process. Death is the state. Suffering is the result of doing bad things. You reap what you sow. This is great information on its own, but it serves my purpose in Revelation chapter 20. Because there I told you that people don't die because of what they've done. They suffer at the Great White Throne for what they've done. They do suffer at the Great White Throne, people who have done bad acts. They do suffer. They're simply not appointed to live after that. They still haven't been conciliated to God. I will go this far. I will say that even those not written in the Book of Life at the Great White Throne, I will go this far. I will say that they are justified at that time. They're pronounced righteous by God. But it's not time to give them that peace of God. Why? Hey, ask God when you get there. How many people in this life don't get it yet? So, been through that. Now, many people will misconstrue a verse, and this is a difficult passage, I'll admit that. Romans 6:23 in the King James Version says, "The wages of sin is death." That sounds like it undoes everything I just told you, that death is not the result of sin, but of being an enemy of God, of being in a state of separation from God, based on Adam. Look at it this way. Adam's not directly responsible for all the bad stuff we do. Is Adam responsible for the fact that you ate a whole entire bag of potato chips, you were glutton, or that you lied to someone? Adam's not responsible for that. Indirectly, he is, because he passed death onto you, but you'll answer individually for your sin. This is what the Great White Throne is about, and why people are resurrected, why people are judged, why people are adjusted because of everything they've done. Nobody can say, "Adam made me do that." No, you did it. You're held accountable. But when they go to the second death, they can say, "It's not my fault." And truly, truly, it is not their fault, because they're going to the second death because of Adam. Same reason they go to the first death, because of Adam. People can rightly say, "I don't deserve to go to the second death. It's not my fault." And they can point and pass the buck to Adam. And God will say, "Point taken," because death came to us through Adam. Genetically, when you were born, what decision did you make as a baby to inherit death? The question could be, do babies start sinning as soon as they're born? I think they do, but again, I still say it's based on death, because Scripture says it's based on death. So if a baby is born dying, which it is, then it's going to sin. It's going to start kicking and complaining bitterly about things that are happening to it, like being removed from the nice, warm, velvety, liquidy womb where it was quite happy. Now it's coming into a world of fluorescent lighting and Gilligan's Island reruns and political upheaval, not to mention cars that don't know how to drive, people who don't know how to drive and refuse to pass in the left lane, but instead will stay in the left lane and just drive there as though it's an alternative driving lane. The babies are eventually going to find out that this happens, and they're going to suffer because of this. And they're going to sin based on that suffering. They're going to cuss. They're going to eat more than they should. They might even start smoking. I don't know. But then I can give them my book, How to Be Free from Sin While Smoking a Cigarette. So here's the context of this Romans 6. I'm going to start in verse 20, lead up to it. As I do, it's all about context. "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free as to righteousness. What fruit had you then, of which you are now ashamed? For indeed the consummation of those things is death." So you were slaves of sin, that is, you constantly felt condemned by sin, and the consummation of these things was death. This is all you had to look forward to before you became enlightened. You sin, and the fruit is death. It's what's ahead of you. It's all you have to look forward to, eternal death. Woohoo, that's great. Apart from Christ. This is a life lived apart from Christ. "For the indeed the consummation of those things is death. Yet now, being freed from sin, enslaved to God, you have your fruit for holiness. Now the consummation is life aeonian." So when you're a slave of sin, you have a consummation ahead of you. That is, you have something to look forward, consummation to, and that is death. That's all sinners who live in their sin, who have no, I mean, we're also sinners. What I mean is those who have no expectation. Those who don't know that sin has been dealt with by the suffering of Jesus Christ, by the blood of Jesus Christ for justification. Also, they have to look forward to his death. Death is hanging over their head. But now you are free from sin, Paul says, and that's a state of being that God declares you to be. Doesn't matter how much you sin. You can be freed from sin in the middle of sin, right? You're freed from the guilt and the condemnation of sin. How can you be free from sin unless you're sinning? You can't be said to be free from sin unless you are sinning. If you're delivered from sin, we can't even talk about you being free. It doesn't exist for you anymore. You see what I mean? Paul also says in Romans 6:6, let not sin be reigning in your mortal body. In order for it to reign, it has to be existent. Sin's going to try to reign over you. It's going to try to tell you that it has jurisdiction over your life. So you can, in your mind now, think about the freedom you have in Christ. And now you have this wonderful thing hanging over your head, which is aeonian life. And you can just tell sin to take a hike. Even while you're sinning, it has no jurisdiction over you. That's the key to that. Freedom from sin doesn't mean you stop sinning. It just means you have no more fear of it. You have no more guilt concerning it, and you have no more condemnation. You feel no more condemnation. The smile of God is on you all the time. Isn't that a great thing? It's a great state to be in. So now that you are no longer a slave of sin, now the consummation is life aeonian. And now Paul makes this statement. For the ration, there's two different pronunciations for that word, and I never know which one to go with. I'm going to have to pick one. The ration, like kennel ration, that was dog food, remember? It was food that the dogs got every day. Give the dog kennel ration. Has Fido received the kennel ration this evening? It's a continual feeding. The ration of sin is death. Not the wages. Wages is something you're paid at the end of the day. The wages of sin is death, says the King James Version. That's wrong. It's the ration of sin. I think it's ration. Ration sounds horrible. Why didn't they call it kennel ration? I'm switching now. I'm going to call it the ration of sin. It's what you're paid. It's what you're sustained with while you're going through it. So death is always hanging over the head of one who is in bondage to this idea that sin has not been answered for. The ration of sin is death, yet the gracious gift of God is life aeonian. It's not the wages. It's not paid to you. It's a sustaining force. It's hanging over your head. I told you it was a difficult passage. I'm breaking a sweat here, but I'm doing it for you. It's not the wages of sin, and because there's a different word translated wages in the King James Version. I can't remember which Greek word. But it's one of those deals where they have a different Greek word here, where there's a Greek word one place, they translate it wages. There's a Greek word throughout the scripture, they rightly translate wages. The Greek word here is not that same Greek word, and yet they translate this different Greek word, wages. That's a translating crime for which the King James translators will answer. But many of them translated against their will. They were told that they could not go against the popular teachings of the Church of England. I think that's enough for one day. It's not that you die because you've done terrible things. It's that you die because of what you have become in Adam. And if you're constantly worried, if you don't know the truth of these things, then death is hanging over your head and you're going to be paid that wage every day of fear of death. But if you have been delivered from the fear of death into the life of Christ, now you have to look forward to a great thing, namely aeonian life. Isn't it a great thing when aeonian life is hanging over your head every day like rays of sunshine? Large doses of vitamin D, only in this case, it's large doses of the Spirit of God. And this will give you peace, and peace does help us get through this difficult life.